Hello and welcome back to It's Just Another Review Cast. I'm Robert.
I'm Ann.
And today we're going to be going over the last three episodes of Hannibal Season 3.
Yeah, and that's all of Hannibal that we have now, because no Season 4 has been announced yet.
So. Rumors, though.
Rumors. There's always rumors.
Yeah.
I just want to say there's a funny meme that I've seen this week flying around. Every fight is a food fight if you are a cannibal.
True.
Yep.
Unless they're knocked out already. Well, you come across them.
Yeah.
So, the last three episodes. Also, it's allergy season around here, so pardon us if phlegmy stuff happens.
Yeah.
Okay, so, now, season 3, episode 11, and the Beast from the Sea.
Yep, and I have the image from the William Blake on the show notes, so...
And this is just the show-specific thing. It's not... Is it in the books or in the movies anywhere?
Not really. Just, it's a show-specific thing.
Okay, so...
So, well, I mean, the Red Dragon and the Woman Clothed in Sun is from the books.
Yeah.
So...
Okay, but do we see this picture anywhere in the episode? Because I haven't seen...
No, it doesn't show up. I just added it because it's from 1800. It's public domain. It's interesting to look at. It's art.
Okay.
So.
Okay, so we start this episode off with Bloom, Graham, and Jack. Graham talks about the dragon, Francis, eating the picture.
Yeah.
This was after he was tossed around like a rag doll.
Yeah.
And they were discussing about things to do, about what to do with Francis Dolehyde.
Yeah.
And Bloom pops off about pushing him towards suicide.
Yeah.
And Jack's all for Bloom's idea of pushing him to suicide.
Yeah, I know. Jack has changed a lot.
Yeah, he's not your your chaotic or your lawful good person anymore. He's your more chaotic lawful.
Okay.
He's more he wants the rule of law, no matter the consequence, the effect, no matter how it gets done.
Inspector Javert.
Okay.
Sorry.
Yeah, no.
Had to throw in a Les Mis.
Well, after that, they cut to Francis and Hanny, or Hannibal. I'm sorry. Notes. And they're having a conversation about Francis going and seeing the pic.
Yep.
So, it was... This is where I find out that it was actually Hannibal's office that Francis Dolehyde broke into.
Oh, really?
At first, I thought it might have been Hannibal's office when you first see him breaking into an office.
Yeah.
And then... But then he does that whole phone tap thing and everything, and then I hear about... And I hear it on the receiving end about the whole lawyer thing. And I thought, oh, that's just the lawyer's office. For some reason, it's all covered over.
Yeah, no.
Because of the caller ID and everything.
Yeah, people can spoof that all the time.
I didn't hit, realize it.
Yeah.
So I thought it might have been the lawyer's office at that time.
Yeah. Even Millennium had an episode that dealt with, you know, phone call spoofing and stuff like that. And that was from the 90s. Okay. So...
Well, Francis is talking to Hannibal about Reba at the time.
Yep.
And how he doesn't want to give her to the dragon.
Yep.
Because he's basically falling for her.
Yep.
Francis then mentions how Graham interests him.
Yeah.
He has an interesting face.
Yes. Not very handsome, though, according to Francis Dolehyde.
Yep, but very intent.
Yeah.
Something like that, or intense.
Intense, yeah.
And this is where Hannibal mentioned Will's family.
Yeah.
And to kill them all.
Yep. Save yourself, kill them all. Which we've heard spoken by, I think, Brian Cox and Anthony Hopkins previously. So.
Yep. Pretty iconic line.
Yep.
So, we cut to Francis in the woods, carving his mark on a tree.
Yep.
Possibly at Graham's place. Don't really know. They just show him... at this scene, carving it into the tree.
Yep.
And he starts going into his dragon mindset.
Yeah.
Back at his house.
Yep.
Then we go to back to Francis and Reba, and Francis is going through film about Graham's family.
Yes, he's watching what he recorded of them at Moosehead Lake. Mm-hmm. So,
and of course, there's no sound, so Reba doesn't know what's being watched or anything.
Yeah.
She's just lounging there on his lap.
Yep.
Okay, so we go back to the Graham family household.
Yep, dogs are sick.
Poisoned.
Yeah.
But they're all good. They'll be fine. Sorry. They got the charcoal antidote in just in time.
Yep, and they completely ignore the warning sign from the FBI.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know if Graham shared that part of the case with his family, though.
No, he didn't, but they walked right on by the FBI warning sign.
Okay.
So, and if I saw something like that, I would be stopping and reading it immediately.
Well, that's also you.
Well, of course.
Well, Molly being the wife of somebody involved in an FBI case, I don't know why she wouldn't have seen it and read it, too.
I know. She should.
Okay. And Walker?
Wally.
Wally?
Walter or Wally.
Okay. Asked Molly if they're going to tell Graham.
Yeah.
And Molly says, oh, we're just going to keep it a secret.
Yeah.
You know how I always say that keeping secrets is bad? Well, sometimes secrets are good.
Yeah. Oh, she doesn't want to worry him because he's already... It's like Bella not wanting to worry Jack. Molly doesn't want to worry Will now.
Yeah.
And
no, Molly doesn't want to worry Will.
That's what I just said.
I thought you said Wally.
Will.
I thought you said Wally doesn't want to worry Will.
Molly doesn't want to worry Will. Do we need to back it up and replay?
No. Oh, whatever. Okay, so we're going to back to Graham and Hanny.
If you're going to do that, at least say Graham Cracker.
Yeah, I'll say Grammy.
Graham Cracker. It's Graham Cracker.
Oh, whatever. Basically, Graham confronts Hannibal about how he manipulated both him and Francis to meet at the museum.
Yeah.
Hannibal denies it in his own way. Yeah. And Hannibal also, at the end, gave Graham a big hint that his family is going to be next.
Yeah. He also says, how do you imagine he's contacting me? Personal ads, writing notes of admiration on toilet paper.
They're all nods to the movies.
And the books. Because that's exactly how Francis contacted him.
Mm-hmm. So, we go back to the Graham homestead.
Well, he also mentions, how is he choosing them? And Hannibal mentions social media. They did it that way just to kind of give an explanation on how he's choosing families, because the whole VHS recording thing doesn't really work. Everybody's doing it on their
phones
and iPads now.
Yeah.
So, and he's like, you can't be too careful with your privacy settings. So, once again, yes, be careful with your privacy settings.
Yep. Okay, so, backing up again. Molly's plate, we're going back to Graham Homestead. Someone's breaking in.
Yep.
I thought it might be Graham got the hint from Hannibal and coming to warn his family.
But no, he doesn't take hints, apparently.
Apparently. And it ends up being Francis Delahide.
Yep.
So, Molly gets the kid out.
Yeah. A lot of people have asked, like, how is it she knew he was there? One of the things, I didn't see it in the show, but in the script it explains that some sort of silent alarm went off and she was able to kind of be alerted by it that Will had set up.
Probably on her phone.
Probably. Just kind of some sort of alert system for their house, which makes sense that he would have that.
At the same point, it could be that she's a light sleeper, because you did hear him creaking when he first got onto the porch.
Yeah.
So, that could have been it, too.
Yeah.
Molly makes a couple... Molly gets out of the house.
Yep.
She's hiding underneath the porch.
Yep.
So she makes one diversion, has the kid, and gets the kid over to her.
Yep.
Makes another diversion, and they were able to run the other way to the road.
She uses her car alarm, actually. And they really recommend sleeping with your, if you have a car alarm, sleeping with your keys next to your bed, because if someone actually does try to break in, you can hit that alert system, and that usually will annoy enough people to do something about it if you are in trouble. I just want to put that out there.
Yeah.
So.
So they end up getting to the street. They flag down a driver.
Yep.
And the driver, of course, all pissed off that he almost hit her. Get shot in the head.
Because if someone's flagging you down like that, it's not, you know, life-threatening or anything. Yeah. It's just, I'm just here having some fun.
And then got out arguing with her and then gets shot in the head.
Yeah.
So she gets in, they drive away, she gets shot in the shoulder.
Yep. I actually like this Molly. She is badass.
Yep. And we see Francis all frustrated.
Yeah.
Because he couldn't get his kill.
Yep.
Okay. Now, Graham's at the hospital. Pardon me. And he's talking to Wally? Walter?
Walter or Wally. It kind of flips between the two.
So, he's talking to the boy. Mm-hmm. And they're talking about Francis.
Yeah. This is the exact conversation from Manhunter.
Okay. And he brings up Graham's past and his stay at the mental hospital.
Yeah.
And before this, Graham was saying how he was going to capture Francis and put him into a mental health hospital to get help.
Yeah.
But the kid says he should just kill the guy.
Yeah. And that is much bigger ouch in this one than it is Manhunter, because you know we've seen everything that he's been through now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just one of those, yikes.
Yep. You should just kill the guy, not hospitalize him.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't really an ouch. I was like, you go, kid.
Yeah, but knowing Graham's history, it's like you open that door.
I know. Ugh. But the kid doesn't know that.
No, that's part of, I know, that's,
And Jack and Graham then have their conversation.
Well, Wally goes and watches baseball. This is actually from the book. Him and Molly would always sit down and watch baseball whenever they're, like, stressed and whatnot. It's kind of their comfort thing, because Wally's dad was a baseball player. And it's something that they frequently did just to kind of de-stress, but they never once would ever let Will be a part of it or anything. That was just kind of their thing and whatnot. Just kind of help. It's one of those walls that got built between them. So I just kind of want to bring that up. So.
Okay. Okay. So Jack and Graham have their conversation.
Yep.
And of course, Graham's pretty pissed.
Yeah.
He doesn't really vocalize that he's pissed, but you can tell by his body posture and everything that he is.
Mm-hmm. He knows everything's ruined now.
Yeah.
He can't go home. He says not yet, but he's really, even by this point in the book, he's understanding probably not ever.
We'll see. Graham's saying the only reason that he's still going to help is because his family has nowhere to go until Francis is out of the way.
Yeah.
And that is the only reason.
Yeah.
So, Graham goes and sits with Molly after that.
Yep.
And this is where we find out that Bloom basically found out that Hannibal wasn't talking to the lawyer, but to Francis.
Yeah.
And, of course, he doesn't deny it.
Nope.
Because no one really asked him if he was really talking to his lawyer.
But even if they did ask him, he would give some weirdo answer that isn't an answer, but to him is an answer.
Like that?
A little bit more wordy.
Oh, okay. Okay, so now we have Jack and Bloom threatening Hannibal to cooperate to capture Francis. And Hannibal agrees.
Yep.
So we then go to Francis fighting with the dragon. Fight Club style.
Yeah, but we're not supposed to talk about it.
Oh, so if we don't come back with another podcast, that's why.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oops.
So, sorry, we had to do the Fight Club thing.
Yeah. At this point, at the end of it, I'm like, so the dragon's taken over completely now, huh?
That's how I see it.
Yeah.
So.
That's how I kind of saw it, too.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now we cut to Francis and Reba.
Yep.
And Francis tries to talk about his feelings he has about Reba.
Yep.
And he basically says he can't be with her because he's afraid he'll hurt her.
Yeah.
Basically, the breakup scene.
Yeah, I was about to say he tries to break up with her.
Yep. Anything else?
No.
Okay. So, Hannibal has a phone call with Franny.
Yes.
Francis. Francis told Hannibal that he broke up with Reba.
Yep.
And how easy it would be to kill her if she showed up at his house.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, Hannibal warned Franny that the FBI is listening.
Yeah, before he does that, there's a cut line where Hannibal actually talks to him about killing Will's family a little bit.
Okay.
And he said, and specifically Will, he says in a cut line, basically, think about holding him down until loss of blood makes his heart quiver like a bird. Then he warns Francis about their Tap. Listening.
Yeah.
So.
Okay, so as Hannibal's punishment, his room's stripped.
Yeah, and they completely cut that out, too, the actually stripping of the room, all the books.
No, they showed that. They showed them taking stuff away.
They cut a good chunk of it out.
But they showed it.
Because one of the deleted scenes from the DVD has this...
Because it showed him and Bloom talking.
Yeah.
And it showed the orderlies in the background.
At the very end, yeah. But they didn't do close-ups on all the books and the pictures being taken away and all that kind of stuff.
Okay.
Because there's this one photo that has been put up on a lot of the like fan forums and whatnot that everyone's trying to find where it goes to. I found it in the deleted scenes. So, and it's also on the NBC website, but where in the show was it? And the great mystery is, it's from the deleted scenes, from them removing everything from his cell. And it is this gem.
Oh. The back shot of a naked dude?
That everybody's pretty sure it's Will.
Eh.
So, yeah.
Okay.
I solved it. I'm happy.
Okay. Okay, so after Hannibal's punishment, we go to Molly. She regains...
He also has the whole mask and his Silence of the Lambs up.
Not important. I didn't think it was important.
He's crazy.
I know. So, Molly regains consciousness and Graham's there.
Yep.
I don't know if... Was Graham in the scene when they were listening into Hannibal's and Dalhide's conversation?
No.
Okay, so I'm assuming then that Graham stayed there that entire time after his conversation with Jack until Molly regained consciousness.
Yeah.
Okay. So Graham was there sleeping.
Mm-hmm.
And immediately off the bat lets her know that Wally and the dogs are safe.
Yes.
And
they're bringing the dogs in.
Yep. And she basically blames herself and Jack for what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Especially Jack.
Yep.
And because of, and what happened because of pushing, Graham to go do this case.
Yeah.
And she goes on a rant.
Yeah.
And he apologizes.
Mm-hmm. And again, mostly taken from the book, a lot of that. Extra stuff is almost, you could hold it up to the show and almost just follow along.
Okay, so Graham goes to Hannibal.
Yeah, he's pissed.
He is fed up with his bullshit.
For a minute. Yeah.
That's basically what it translates to, that first initial greeting with Hannibal.
I am sick and tired of you crazy sons of bitches. Yeah.
Hannibal admits pointing Francis to Graham's family.
Yeah.
Hannibal also talks about Francis changing and his personality splitting.
Mm-hmm.
And one side being stronger and strong and free, and the other shy and weak, basically.
Yep.
Even though he doesn't really touch on that side.
Yeah.
It's just context.
Yeah.
Anything else?
Not for this episode, no.
Okay.
So now we go to the number of the beast is 666. Here's
episode 12.
Yep. That one's actually kind of a cool painting.
Okay. So, we start off...
You really got me fascinated with William Blake.
We start off with Graham talking to Bedelia.
Yes.
About how he's seeing himself killing Molly.
Yep.
Bedelia says that Hannibal gave Graham 3 years to build a family. And that Hannibal's confident that he could take them away at any time.
Yeah.
And Graham agrees with that.
Yeah.
Bedelia says that that Hannibal would only kill her by his own hand, and only if he could eat her.
Yep.
And he is in no position to eat me now.
And Will's like, if you play, you pay. And she says, basically, you've paid dearly. That knowledge will lie against your skin forever. It excites him to see you marked in this particular way. That line has a lot of interest because Thomas Harris has used that line before. And this is the only time in the show they really use that line. And the only time that Thomas Harris has used that line is when he is talking about how angry Hannibal was, actually. And this is line, Hannibal was angered that Meigs had marked Clarice in this way.
Okay.
So. And then, of course, Will asks why. And then Bedelia is all, why do you think? And then it says here, I'm reading directly from the script here. Will studies her in amused, annoyed by the psychiatric game. Bluebeard's wife, secrets you're not to know yet sworn to keep. Sorry, scrolling. If I am to be Bluebeard's wife, I would have preferred to be the last. A moment as Will considers this, then is Hannibal in love with me?
Yep.
So,
and she says yes.
Oh, she does. Could you daily feel a stab of hunger for you and find nourishment in the very sight of you? Yes, but do you ache for him? Sorry, yep. Can't cut out Dante.
Well, I'm simplifying it. It's
you can't cut out Dante.
She says yes, and then asks if he does also.
You can't cut out Dante. And Hugh Dancy has basically said, in that moment, he's acting, when acting, thinking, whatnot, he's like, is that what this is feeling is? Is that what's going on? And stuff like that. So, he describes it as a moment of epiphany. Okay. So.
Well, during this conversation, it was also mentioned that Hannibal has agency in the world.
Yeah.
Does that mean he has agents that will do his bidding? Or what?
He has control a little bit, even while in there. Not agents, but people he can influence, I guess.
Okay.
So
it's just one of those lines that kind of stuck out to me.
Yeah.
It's just like, what's it mean? It has agency in the world.
Influence.
Okay. Okay, so the next scene is more biblical than anything between Hannibal and Jack.
Yeah.
Basically, in a biblical sense, he warns Jack to watch out for Graham's wrath.
Yeah.
As the Lamb of God, for none can stand before it. It will be worse than the dragons.
Okay. See, this is where I get lost. So
yeah, I know. It's even for me growing up with a Christian background. I was basically forced to go through until teens, and then I was able to stop.
Mm-hmm.
Lamb of God usually in the denomination that I was from usually referred to as Jesus Christ as the Lamb of God. the sacrificial lamb for the human race to forgive them of their sins and everything.
Okay.
I'm not too well versed in Revelations. If this is the reference that he's
from, what I understand, this is Revelations. Yeah.
The only thing in Revelations I know about the lamb is the lamb and the lion will lie side by side together in peace.
Okay.
And I guess it, in this sense, it's the Lamb of God being Jesus Christ. It's don't anger him because his wrath will be worse than the devil.
Okay.
And that's the only thing I can really understand of it.
I basically have, Will is now so angry that Armageddon is coming for everyone.
Eh, could be.
Hey, check it out. You extended it. I simplified it. All right.
She had to get a high five in.
Yes, because I think that's the first time that's ever happened.
Okay, so after the conversation, we go to Jack, Graham, and Bloom.
Yep.
And they're talking about baiting the dragon out of hiding using Freddy's Tattler.
Yep.
So, we go to Chilton, talking to Hannibal.
You're not even going to say it.
Fine, fucking Chilton. And he's talking to Hannibal. And he's talking about Hannibal's rebuttal to Chilton's book was bitchy. Was his word.
Downright bitchy.
Yep. And Chilton basically is rubbing into Annie's face that his notoriety is fading in the shadow of the dragon.
Yeah.
And that he'll be forgotten and all this other stuff.
Yep.
Okay, so Graham, Chilton, Jack, Freddy will be doing the interview.
Freddy wants Will to take a picture in a bathrobe. He says no.
I want her to. Okay, so Chilton's kind of surprised at how venomous Will is talking about the Tooth Fairy.
Yeah.
He kept on giving little sideways glances and raised eyebrows at the venom at the remarks that Graham was making during this scene.
Yeah. Freddy also asked Will what size he was to give him a shirt. So, I was just wondering, you and Hugh Dancy are about the same size. So, what size are you?
Medium.
Okay. Thanks.
Yeah, I'm more mediums.
Okay.
So, now we go to Jack and Graham going over the plan.
Mm-hmm. Well, when Will has Chilton take that photo with him, he puts his arm around him.
Yeah.
That is from the book, and for some reason both Manhunter and the movie Red Dragon cut that part out, so...
Okay. So, Graham and Jack are going over the plan, and during this time, he actually, the dragon, Francis, actually goes after Chilton first.
Yeah.
And that surprised me. I figured it'd be Freddy like in the movies.
Yeah, Brian Fuller didn't want that level of violence against women being shown.
Okay.
So, that's why he changed it.
Okay.
And everybody adores Freddy, actually. So.
Oh, yeah, she's a sexy redhead. even though she's a gutter reporter.
What?
Even though she's a gutter reporter.
Yeah.
Okay, so, Chilton's in Freddy's, is in Freddy's position, as in the movies at this time.
Yep.
I'm like, is he going to be set on fire before the scenes ever happened or anything? This is what I'm thinking right in the beginning.
Yeah.
And it looks like he's glued to the wheelchair just like Freddy was in the movies.
Yeah.
And he was.
Yep.
So, drop my pen. So, okay.
This scene is actually one of the longest continuous scenes in television history, actually.
Oh, true, because there's like two scenes in one, isn't it?
Yeah. And it lasts a long time. Mm-hmm. And it is almost entirely that chapter of the book.
Okay.
So it is really...
Okay, so at this time he's saved by the bell.
Har har.
I know. So Francis warns Chilton to be quiet or he'll kill her.
Reba, yeah.
Yep. So, saved by Reba. She comes in to bring soup because he called in sick.
Yep.
And to offer an explanation about her anger toward the breakup.
Yeah.
After she leaves, they go through a slideshow.
Yep.
Of his kills and their, or the victims and their changes, as he put it.
And we have the iconic dropping the kimono and the tattoo and everything.
Mm-hmm. And Chilton lets him know, and at this point, Chilton lets him know it was all set up.
Yep.
Because he's scared.
Well, yeah, I mean.
So, after more ranting and raving, he makes a recording of Chilton, and then bites Chilton's lips off.
Yep.
Because lips of a liar.
Yep.
So.
And again, NBC was more okay with the lip biting scene than the butt crack.
Yay. So, I kind of laughed at this when we find out that he sent Chilton's lips to Hannibal.
I laughed. Kind of. I laughed.
Yep. And, of course, Hannibal ate one.
Yep. Oh, that was such a... I mean, that moment of just flashing him to doing the whole...
Yep.
Whatnot, that was funny.
And Hannibal basically says that, hey, you guys set him up. Set Chilton up.
Yeah.
For this to happen.
And the script call basically says he's acting like the cat who ate the canary, or the lip.
Yeah. Okay. So, they end up watching the recording of Chilton and how the dragon will attack Graham.
Yep.
Basically break his back.
Yeah.
Bedelia and Graham talk about what happened to Chilton and what led up to Chilton's attack.
Yep.
During this scene, you also see Chilton being doused with fuel.
Yep.
And set on fire. And rolled into a fountain.
Yep.
He was also being recorded. Why did I put that in there? Who was also being recorded? Oh, when he was set on fire, right?
No, I don't think so. Mm. When he had his lips bit off.
Okay.
He was still
being... No, Graham was being recorded. That's what it was. Wasn't it? I don't remember why I put that in there. And Chilton's still alive. We see him at the hospital. He's alive. It's like, what is he? The very definition of a cockroach? You can stab him. You can shoot him. You can set him on fire. And he's still kicking.
Well, here I have my Chilton watch thing that's going on that I've had kind of running throughout this series. Is basically, Chilton has been abducted by Abel Gideon, had his kidneys removed, forced to eat beets, set up as a Chesapeake Ripper, shot by Miriam Lass, discredited by Hannibal the Cannibal, set up by Will Graham, epoxied to a wheelchair, had his lips bitten off, Hannibal ate those lips, third-degree burns...
One of the lips.
Yeah. Third-degree burns all over his body, and he's still alive.
Shit. And Chilton accuses Graham of setting him up.
Well, Graham kind of did.
I know.
In the books, by the end of it, he's going to be, yep, I did that.
And lets him know that Reba is a black woman and blind.
Yeah. Yeah. This scene's great if you watch the gag reel.
Uh-oh. Okay, so Francis abducts Reba.
Yep.
To his place.
Mm-hmm.
And Francis basically tells Reba that he is the dragon.
Yep.
And that he's the one changing groups of people.
Yep.
And he doesn't call them families, he calls them groups of people.
Yeah.
And that took us to the end of that episode.
Yep. Next episode is The Wrath of the Lamb.
Last episode, episode 13.
Yep.
So... Franny gives Reba a trust test.
Yeah.
To go lock the front door and come back.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, she tries to run.
Yeah. When she reaches up to his face, almost like she's about to feel it when trying to reach for the key. The script actually says she was going to try to do that face feel thing, but she, her intent was to gouge out his eyes.
Okay.
So I did not get that. I wish they...
Oh, that's probably why he said don't go... Don't.
Don't do what you're thinking about doing.
Yeah,
yep.
Could be.
Yep.
And, of course, she tries to run, but Frances is right outside.
Yep.
She actually stays quiet during this whole time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually quite a long... It's a few minutes.
Yeah.
And until they get back to the bedroom. He basically threatens her with a shotgun because he can't give her to him. Him
yeah,
being
the dragon.
So, like in the movie, he sets the house on fire.
Yep.
And for the murder-suicide.
Yep.
And because he knows he'll know he'll be caught soon, basically.
Yeah, he knows his time's coming.
And wants Reba to go with him.
But he can't watch her die.
So he shoots himself in the head.
Yep.
Of course, Reba survives.
Yep.
She gets out and blah, blah, blah. And Graham is talking to her at the hospital.
Yeah.
And she's basically going over the incident with them.
Yeah, and this is, again, all from the book and previous movies.
Mm-hmm.
So, just that conversation about, you drew a man with a freak on its back, and it's not just the blind who attract people like this, has a little bit more oomph behind it, this go-around, than...
No, it's not... You didn't draw a freak. You drew a man with a freak on his back.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're back in Hannibal's Mind Palace.
Yep.
And ding-dong, dragon's dead.
Yep.
Hannibal was, of course, rooting for Graham during this time.
Mm-hmm. Only consolation is Chilton.
Yep.
Cunning boy. That's from the book, too. I like that one.
Okay. He also mentioned he came all this way and didn't get to kill anyone.
Yep.
That
whole bit's from the book.
Yep. And Hannibal's only consolation was Chilton.
Mm-hmm.
But he lays that at Graham's feet.
Well, yeah.
Because Graham was the one who set him up.
Yeah, and Hannibal knows that.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not wrong.
Yep.
And that's what's annoying Will more than anything, I think.
Hannibal's also saying that if Graham goes home, it won't be the same.
Yep.
And Graham tries to disagree with that.
Yep. Again, it's that whole conversation was in the book. It's amazing how they managed to do that.
So, basically, Graham told Hannibal that Graham, manipulated Hannibal into giving himself up by rejecting him.
Yep.
And,
I have the whole exact quote here. You turned yourself in so I would always know where you are. You'd only do that if I rejected you. Goodbye, Hannibal. Mic drop, Graham out.
Will, was it good to see me?
Good?
No. Just good. It could be lovely.
I know. That it's whole...
Ecstatic. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so...
At Graham's hotel.
Graham gets attacked in the hotel by Frances.
Yes.
I wonder how he knew he was there, unless he was following him.
Probably following him.
Yeah. So, Frances did use a body double to fake his death.
Mm-hmm.
And he did capture Graham. And they talk about how Hannibal betrayed them both.
Yeah. Well, Graham really does that whole line. He quotes Hannibal's earlier line from Tome 1, I think it was. It was right after the Ortolan scene.
Okay.
The whole, I understand that blood and breath are only elements undergoing change to fuel your radiance. Hannibal said those words to me.
Yep.
Just kind of, because Frances is so fascinated with Hannibal, it's kind of one of those, hey, guess what?
Yeah. You're not the only one.
Yeah.
And they talk about not changing Reba.
Mm-hmm.
And another person Graham manipulates to try to kill Hannibal.
Yep. Yep, he's now plotting with Francis.
Yes, he is. So, Jack and the team figure out that the body was not Francis.
Yeah, because but Graham already knows this, obviously.
And Graham's there.
Yeah, I know.
And it's like, Francis let him go? Okay.
Because they're plotting.
So that Graham can set up a situation in which the dragon can get to Hannibal.
Yep.
So Graham pitches the idea to Jack, not telling him about the deal with Francis, though.
Yeah.
So he's trying. He's setting up the situation.
Mm-hmm. The book actually has him pose that theory of this would be the best way to catch the dragon and whatnot. The only differences are that in the book, Jack says, no, not yet, anyway. Whereas in here, he's like, yeah, okay, whatever.
Yeah.
And I don't understand how he's trusting Will with this.
I don't know. So they're going to use Hannibal as bait to get Francis.
Yeah.
Okay, so next one. Bedelia really hates that plan.
Oh, boy.
She is scared that Hannibal will get away and eat her.
Yeah.
And Graham does not intend to capture Hannibal again.
Intend Hannibal to be caught a second time.
Mm-hmm. So that can be one of two things.
Mm-hmm.
At that point, I was thinking that he was just going to kill him.
Except for we have, I guess this is my becoming. I'd pack my bags if I were you, Bedelia. Mm-hmm. Meat's back on the menu. And then, ready or not, here he comes.
Because, and Bedelia also believes that Graham is becoming pathological. And Graham warns her to run.
Yep.
Okay, so Bloom and Chilton.
Because, of course.
I know. Fucking Chilton talking about how this all came to be with him.
Well, it's not just Chilton now. It's now Kentucky Fried Chilton.
Mm-hmm. And it's all because of Hannibal, Graham, and Bloom.
Yeah, and I always got he really mostly blamed Will for that.
Mm-hmm. For being burnt, yeah.
Yeah.
And Bloom says, As the rope person that hangs people, Bloom says that Hannibal's next. And Chilton would love to be there, being on it, with shackles and setting the fire.
Yep.
But he really only wants Hannibal's skin to replace his burnt skin.
Yeah.
And Bloom says that's not a very good idea.
No.
Okay. So, Bloom sets plan into motion.
Yep.
She tells about the dragon's fake death to Hannibal and using Hannibal as bait.
Mm-hmm.
He talks about if he...
if he escapes in earnest.
And also other stuff. And that he told Bloom that she died in the kitchen at his house.
She's only living on borrowed time.
And he'll kill her whole family.
I never got the whole family part. There's no reason for him to go after Margot and the kid. Alana, yes. The other two, no.
Because Margot was also involved with Mason's and everything else.
But she was involved with that. But the reason why he wants to go after Alana, it has nothing to do with Mason. It has to do with the fact that she ran up the stairs instead of choosing to just ignore everything and go out the door.
Mm-hmm.
Margo wasn't there for any of that.
Well, you gotta remember, he's got a lot of rage built up right now being in captivity.
Yeah, but going after Margo, maybe, but definitely I would not. It is, like, almost against his MO to go after a kid.
True.
So.
But he did eat his sister.
That was entirely different. She was already dead.
Yeah. Okay, so Bloom lets Jack and Graham know that Hannibal is on board partially, and will be fully on board if Graham asked with a please.
Yes.
And Graham is like, I'll ask with a pretty please.
I know.
If I have to.
Yeah. And the three basically plan to kill both Francis Dolarhyde and Hannibal.
Yep. And they talk about public reaction.
Yeah.
And Graham says, just lay it all on me.
Yep, for authenticity.
Mm-hmm.
Quote unquote.
So, we have Graham and Hannibal. Hannibal uses mic drop
in the
conversation.
Yeah.
I believe what you said at the end of our last conversation was a mic drop.
It's what you call a mic drop.
But yet, here you come back afterwards to pick it back up.
Yeah.
That's basically how it went.
I get a kick out of the fact that Hannibal knows mic drop, and apparently they had to explain it numerous times to Mads Mikkelsen.
Yeah. Language barrier thing.
Yeah.
It's American slang.
Yeah. I don't even really understand mic drop, to be honest, but I don't understand stuff like that.
And Graham explains how he manipulated him.
Yep.
And says, please.
Well, he explains basically that Hannibal wanted Will to know where he was if he needed him. And then Will's like, I need you. So,
mm-hmm.
basically that whole...
Please.
Yeah.
Okay, so now we go to
The script says the masks come down, basically, after the whole please and whatnot.
They do?
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't notice anything.
Figurative masks.
Okay. So now we go to the convoy scene.
Yeah.
Francis attacks.
Mm-hmm.
Kills guards. Lecter's free.
Yep.
And Francis wants them to follow him.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't want to kill him there.
Yeah.
In the middle of nowhere side road.
Well, and that's not his MO. He needs to do it at night, like midnight-ish, under the moon.
Yeah, could be.
No, he really does.
Okay.
It's, yeah.
Mm. So... Hanny gets in a police cruiser and picks up Graham like he's a prostitute. Going my way?
Hitchhiker. Like he's a hitchhiker.
The way he said it, and that made it sound like he was picking up a prostitute. That's what I thought when I first heard it. I was like, are you picking him up as a prostitute?
Hitchhiker.
That's what you think.
Well, you know how the rule of hitchhiking... Gas, grass, or ass.
Eh. And I have my grass and my grass and gas. Okay. So, Jack is not happy that the plan didn't go to plan.
Yeah, this is later that night.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, and it explains it as basically furious and concerned.
And we see Bloom and her family leaving.
The next morning, yep.
So, now we go to Hannibal and Graham.
Yep.
Hannibal takes Graham to an old hideaway.
Yep.
In which he had Miriam Lass
and
Abigail there.
Mm-hmm.
And they talk about how Graham wants to watch, how Graham wanted to watch the dragon change Hannibal.
Yeah, later, the next night, yeah.
What do you mean the next night?
It is literally the next night that okay. conversation happens.
Well, they just get there and then they start talking.
At night. They got there early in the morning, and now it's nighttime.
Well, yeah, okay. So, as Hannibal's pouring wine, Francis attacks.
Yo. He didn't get his wine.
And shoots Hannibal through the back.
And there's a billion memes of, is that the wine bottle I gave you two seasons ago?
And he warns Graham not to run.
Yeah. We also had, when he uncorks the wine with the corkscrew, he apparently does contemplate killing Will with it for a moment, and that's when he comes back with the whole, my compassion for you is inconvenient.
Mm.
So...
I should kill you, but I like you too much.
Yeah. And we also hear Arya from a Goldberg
okay.
in the background.
While Hannibal is down and incapacitated at this time, Francis wants to film Hannibal's death.
Yep.
He attacks Graham, mm-hmm. or Graham attacks him. I can't remember who moved first.
Graham moved very subtly first, but he is reaching for his gun in his back pants pocket. Why do you put your gun there?
Belt. In his belt.
So, yeah, again, why do you put your gun there?
It's hidden. It's not noticeable. If you're facing somebody, even though it's hard to get to.
Yeah.
So, Dollhide stabs Graham in the cheek.
Yep, exactly like the book.
But the way that blade was angled, it's like, and as long as that blade was, I'm surprised it didn't hit anything, any brain vitals or anything like that.
It gets him right, kind of, here.
I know it goes underneath the cheekbone, but it goes in toward the back of the head when he, as you see him pulling him out.
No, I think more in the mouth.
Because as he's pulling it out, it's angled toward the back of his head.
Okay.
So that's why I'm kind of surprised. It's like, okay, maybe.
I don't know.
He also stabs him Graham in the shoulder.
Yep.
Hannibal tries to intervene.
But well, also, he's pissed, too. If you saw his face when Graham got thrown through the window, he was just all...
And,
he was angry.
But Hannibal also gets handled like a rag doll.
Yeah, like I said, this guy's strong.
So working together, the murder husbands finally take down Francis.
Yep, and we also have Susie Sue's love crime playing, the love theme.
So Lecter tears out Francis's throat with his teeth.
Oh, I know. That was so awesome how he jumped on his back and just grabbed onto him and ripped that throat out. It was amazing. Just like Vampire Lecter.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not sleeping tonight. Next to you.
And Will, he just guts him the way Hannibal had gutted him in the previous finale.
And Patsy.
Yeah, and Patsy, yeah.
Okay, so Graham mentions it really does look black in the moonlight.
Yep.
As he's covered in blood. His own and Francis's.
Yep.
And Graham gives in to the killer side.
Yeah, basically.
Embraces Hannibal.
Hannibal says, "See, this is all I ever wanted for you, Will, for both of us." And Will finally admits, "It's beautiful."
And embraces Hannibal in a more than a friendship way.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And makes him fall off a cliff.
Yeah, it pulls him off a cliff.
So, after a couple credits, we go to another scene.
Yep.
And this is my take on it first. And a lot of people had this opinion, too.
Yes.
Until it was corrected in a commentary or an interview. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I'm like, what the fuck, Bedelia? What the fuck? Did you set up this elaborate dinner for Hannibal, hoping to appease him, and he'll let you live if you offered up a leg? Come on, girl, you know he'll take all of you. He's greedy. It could also be that she's turning into self-cannibalism. That was my whole little...
Basically.
What the hell?
Bedelia sits in an elegantly low-cut dress. You know I love Gillian Anderson.
I know.
There are oysters on the table. Then we see a human leg has been finely prepared. She grabs an oyster fork. For defense, we see that she is scared. There are two more place settings at the table. I guess Bedelia is the old friend for dinner in this one.
Yep.
So...
But he only mentions that he's going to go see an old friend at the end of Silence.
He did say it's always nice to have an old friend for dinner to Chilton in season one.
Okay.
So, true. Basically...
And that was the end of the episode.
Yeah. Will has broken Hannibal out of the dungeon. They went and slayed the dragon. And so...
Now they're going to have dinner.
Yeah.
So, it implies that Hannibal and Will lived there.
Yes. Yes. So, I will provide answers to a lot of this stuff on another one. I just want to kind of discuss what we have a little bit so far.
Like what?
like discuss some previous things from that we never really discussed. Basically, back in episode one, Hannibal mentions
season one. Okay.
Hannibal mentions that his secretary left to follow her heart to England. Raise your hand if you actually believe that one.
It depends. Did he send them in two pieces? In two trips?
Exactly. So he mentions the secretary, and we never see another one. We never hear about it. Was there ever a secretary?
I don't know.
Did she really follow her heart to England like Hannibal said? Or did she follow her heart to England in two separate pieces?
As long as she was polite, it should be no problem.
Right.
As long as she wasn't rude.
Yep. So who do you think, now that I've told you, that it was Will or Hannibal that killed, well, not killed, she's still alive, that is cannibalizing Bedelia?
Hannibal.
You think it's Hannibal?
Yep.
Okay, why?
Because Will doesn't really have a reason. Hannibal was already targeting Bedelia.
Yeah, but Hannibal doesn't like Bedelia.
Well, because Hannibal's already targeting...
Will doesn't like Bedelia.
Just because he doesn't like her doesn't mean he wants to eat her. Hannibal's already... grooming her to be a meal. And then at the end of the Italian scene and everything, she was basically gloating that, you're not going to be able to eat me.
Yeah.
And he's just proving her wrong.
Okay. But Will has also said she deserves it.
Okay. She deserves it doesn't mean that he is the one who set it up. Who manipulated Hannibal to go do it.
See, here's the thing. Hannibal, the way he kills, this was a very Hannibal-style kill. We've seen him do this exact thing before with Abel Gideon.
Yeah.
And one of the things that Hannibal always does is he hooks them up to IVs and stuff like that so they don't get too scared, they don't feel pain and everything. That's not going on with Bedelia.
Well, what if she's already drugged up?
He usually keeps them on the IV a little bit because he knows how to keep it going in them. Will is the one who's about the pain and violence when it comes to the kill. That's why I was wondering if maybe it wasn't Will. The fact that he can, and I'll go into this in the next episode, he can be extremely possessive.
Masochist?
No, possessive.
Okay.
So
I thought that was Hannibal that was the possessive one.
Yes, but Will is just about as bad. Okay. And I will explain how all that works.
In that little bonus episode we plan on doing after this?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because...
So I thought this was going to be part of that.
Oh. Okay. Are we just doing it...
It's good.
Okay. Basically, yeah, I'll go into that. And I am convinced it is Will who's doing this.
Well... If there's two play settings, then that it could also mean they're working together.
Yeah, I mean, there's going to be some working togetherness of it, but I'm pretty sure it's going to be Will's idea, the whole, we're going after her now.
No, I'm pretty sure it was Hannibal's idea.
How come?
It's like, it might be Hannibal's, I'm pretty sure it was Hannibal's idea, but it's also Graham's involvement into it. That's why he wants her not to be hooked up to the IVs and everything.
Yeah, because...
murder husbands, remember?
Yes, I know they have to figure out how to do this together and work together.
Compromising.
Yeah. I don't see any of them compromising. Not without knives being drawn.
Well, they have, on occasion.
Yeah, I know, back down on the edge play, guys. Okay, there's a whole theories and whatnot on the fall. How did they survive and stuff like that?
Well, it's an ocean.
Okay.
People cliff dive all the time.
Normally, don't they have, like, something, like a parachute or something like that?
No, cliff diving into the ocean.
Okay.
It's one of those depending on how high up it is, it can be.
This was supposed to be about 1,000 feet.
I don't think that was 1,000 feet, though.
I don't know that.
Well, even then, you can still survive it as long as you keep your legs together.
Okay.
You know why, too, don't you?
What?
Do you know why?
No.
Okay, if you're falling from a high place into a body of water that's deep enough, you keep your legs together. The main reason for that is to keep your anus closed. Because water will shoot up into your anus and tear up your intestines.
Okay.
If you're falling with enough violence into the water.
Okay. But some things I've heard is that that final scene, we are literally jumping from reality into Will's brain, because we see Francis Dolarhyde get the wings and all that kind of stuff, and Will is seeing him as the dragon. Okay. So, I mean, he didn't actually grow wings in real life.
Yeah.
So we're jumping from reality into Will's brain. And so maybe that whole bit was in his brain, so to speak, in an allegory.
Okay.
They literally did not actually fall, because I don't see them being able to do that, survive that, heal from that, and go after Bedelia in enough time to still possibly have to get out of the country.
It could be months later.
Yeah.
In order for them to heal like that, it could be months.
Yeah. Okay.
And we'll get more into stuff later. What? You have something else?
Yeah, there's also I almost forgot to mention the cut scene.
Which one?
After the fall, basically, Will and Hannibal are back at the Palermo, in Palermo.
Okay.
At the Norman Chapel.
Okay.
And it is legit there, not a Mind Palace thing, because they did the whole, you know, clouds over it with time passing and whatnot. They don't do that if it's the Mind Palace.
Yeah.
And then they have Jack actually showing up there looking for them, but by the time he gets into the room, they're gone.
Okay.
So.
And we're going to call it a day.
Okay.
Okay.
Come back for the next bonus one.
And you guys have fun. Later.